Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Susan Jancic, and I'm the practitioner of the day, along with Mary Ballou. And my pronouns are she and her, and my heritage is in United Kingdom, France, and Germany. And practitioners love to pray for you, and you can see that there are many ways that you can get in touch with us. Anyone that has one of these on today would be happy to pray for you after service, and we have a prayer vessel in the back that you can request, write a prayer and request a prayer for you. We also are available online, and we also have a prayer library online that might be valuable for you. So, going within, join me in the morning invocation. Breathing in and breathing out, settling into this sacred moment, this moment of connectedness. Know with me that there is only one divine presence, one light, one beauty, one power, one love that is in and through all life and in and through my life. And today, I lean in to that place of being one with the one, that greater consciousness that expresses through me and expresses through all of us. As we lean into that, knowing that the beauty and the power and the love of the divine, the one infinite intelligence is within each of us, in our words and in our deeds, expressing in greater and greater good, making a difference for my life, for your life, and for the planet. And today, as we welcome the inspirational words from Reverend Abigail, I know that good is expressing and blessings abound. And so it is.
Well, good morning. If it's your first time here, welcome. I'm Reverend Abigail Shire, and my pronouns are she and her, and I hail, my ancestors hail, from Germany and Ireland and what was once known as Prussia and is now a whole bunch of other countries. And today we're going to talk about inhabiting the inner habitat, because we're talking about radical embodiment this month. I have a story about a bird. There was a bird that was born in a cage that was placed outside. And the bird only knew its cage, its place, because all of its life it had known the bars in its cage. It knew its little perch that it had, and it knew its little corner of sky and little tree that was over top of it, and that's all it knew. And one day, a kind person came and opened up the door to the cage. But the bird didn't fly out, because the bird didn't know anything else. It didn't know that it could fly out. It just knew its cage, and so it stayed in its cage day by day. Now that story comes from China. It's an old folk tale in China. And I think it applies to what I'm talking about today. I'm going to talk about three things. One, habitat. We're going to talk about your inner habitat. Last week we talked about the body of the divine, the body of God, the body of source, whatever your word is for the infinite everything, is here as physical expression. The body of the infinite is expressing itself as us and everything else, the chair, the trees, the grass. It is the body of the infinite. And so instead of talking about our bodies as a vessel, I want to invite you to think about our bodies as a habitat. See, a habitat isn't something you build once and it's called done. It's called finished. It has a terrain that was there before you arrived. It has weather that moves through, and it needs tending, ongoing daily tending. Not because it's broken, but because it's what every living system requires and needs. So the three things that I want you to leave with is, one, this body inherited a terrain I did not choose. Two, this body knows the truth before the mind does. And three, this body is a garden, not a project. So back to the inherited a terrain. The idea of the bird and the cage is that the bird inherited a paradigm that it only knew. When freedom is its nature, it did not know that that is what it already had. And when it was introduced to this possibility of being free, it prevented its own self from being free. And see, that's like many of us. We were told stories about our bodies. We were told stories about what it means to be in a particular body, or what it's supposed to look like, or how it's supposed to be, or what skin color or size is okay or not okay. And we took on this terrain that we inherited. And sometimes we perpetuate the same thing. But my invitation is that perhaps it's ours to up-level, to upgrade it, to change it in a way that we would like to see it. There's a story my friend, Reverend David Alexander, some of you may have heard of him. He's a minister now. He was in Oregon, then Atlanta, and now he's back in Oregon. And he told this great story about a house. When he first moved into Oregon, he bought a house, and the house was it needed a little help. And the little help involved some blackberries. You see, the house had an overrun backyard filled with blackberries that had not only climbed up the walls but had made it into the windows. And so one day, David was like, okay, I'm going to take care of these blackberries. And he's, you know, pulling all the blackberries and pulling them off the walls and pulling them out everywhere. He's trying to remove all the blackberries from his house. And he gets really angry. He gets really mad. He's like, who would freaking plant blackberries? Because as many of you know, they're a thistle. They grow fabulously in the Pacific Northwest environment. And they're really hard to get rid of. And as he was pulling the blackberries, and as he was like really, really angry, all of a sudden, something dawned on him. He said, maybe I didn't plant these blackberries, but this is my house. And it's my job to take care of it now. And so instead of being mad, he realized it was his place to create what he would love. And he wanted a place free of thistles. But isn't that like our environment that we're born into? That we inherit beliefs, systems, patterns, ways of being, not only in our group consciousness, in our country, or in our neighborhood, but in our individual places. our own bodies. We inherit belief systems that we just keep unless we make a conscious choice to dig out and to uproot those things that are no longer serving us. So what do you have as your stories? What kind of history or things did you take on about your body? I find it really interesting. I love being in a time period where we're reanalyzing everything. Like the stories I was told when I was a kid about what it meant to be a woman or what it meant to be a man or, you know, gender ideas or body type ideas. I learned about the body positive movement, which is like, my body is perfect exactly as it is. The size that it's at, the skin tone that it is, the height that it's at, and our bodies occupy different shapes and sizes in this space. And what if they're all a blessing? What if each thing is made of divine stuff? That's not what I was told when I was a kid. And there's still, you know, the whole beauty industry that's trying to tell us exactly what we're supposed to look like and what beauty is and beauty isn't and, you know, how I'm supposed to look in a certain way or not. Obviously, I go against some traditions. Only for a while, yeah. And so it's our opportunity to take on all of those ideas that we want and uproot and release all the ones we don't want. But we have to be aware of them. We have to know what they are, and we have to know how they have affected us. So that's the first thing. The habitat you inherited, you have an opportunity to change. Ernest Holmes had a name for those old stories. He said, he didn't call the stories the mind, he called it your subjective mind. So your subjective mind, which we now know as we call our subconscious mind, is a place that holds those old stories, and we have to become conscious of what's in our subconscious in order to change them. So the next idea, now that we know that there's a terrain, I've been looking at some stories of my ancestry because I don't know many stories from Ireland or Germany, and so I found this old folktale. It's an Irish folktale about a poet named Finn Eases, and he spent 7 years trying to catch the salmon of knowledge. 7 years, because the story goes that the salmon of knowledge goes through the river back and forth, up and down, and whoever catches that salmon gets to get all the knowledge of the world. And so for 7 years, he tried to catch that darn salmon. It was very elusive. But then one day, he caught the salmon of knowledge. And as he reeled in the salmon of knowledge, he got this amazing salmon. And so the deal with the salmon of knowledge is you actually have to eat the fish to get the knowledge. So he had to get the fish cooked and taken care of. So he gives it to his assistant, Finn. And he says, Finn, if you can prep the fish, if you can put it on the spit and start spinning it and stuff, and don't touch it, when it's done, I'm going to eat of it. And so his assistant, Finn, go ahead. He does what his friend told him to do. And so he's doing all the things. And as he's looking at the fish, there was like this bubble that kind of came out on the skin, and he like pushed the bubble down and he burned his thumb. And when he burned his thumb, the first thing he did is he put his thumb in his mouth. And all of a sudden, he had all the knowledge. Well, It was a good day for Finn, not such a good day for his good friend, unfortunately. But that's kind of how knowledge comes. You see, knowledge comes in sort of sideways and unexpectedly. And we have all these plans for how we're going to do this or that, but really it's like, bam, there it is, instantaneous before we even know it. We're Finn. We're the Finn because we're here kind of just doing our own thing, and all of a sudden something happens and our body responds before we even think about it, and then we know the answer. Now, I'm saying that because I just led this chakra retreat. I had some amazing folks that went with me on the chakra retreat. It was powerful. And one of the stories I told is a story about when I first started in Centers for Spiritual Living. I took a class, and I had a relationship. And in my relationship, we were engaged to be married. And she and I were having a little bit of difficulty in our relationship. And so I'm taking this class called Foundations, and in the class, we're supposed to pick an area in our life that we're going to focus on, and I picked my relationship. And in the relationship, I wrote a prayer about having this fantastic relationship and being in deep connection and ease in communication, and that we lift each other up. I had all these great descriptions of my wife, of what, you know, what I would love to experience in my relationship. And the interesting thing that had also happened is, like, right at the beginning of this class, I got this knot in my stomach. It was just this knot. And so my other prayer was also clarity around, what is this knot in my stomach? What's going on? So we do the class. It goes on. I pray the prayer several times over and over again. And near the end of class, it was revealed that my fiancé had fallen in love with somebody else. Yeah. It was a little rough. It was a lot rough. It sucked a lot. However, what happened is the knot in my gut went away when I discovered that. My body knew before I knew. My body knew before I knew. Now, I don't want to scare anybody away who's here for the first time. You're like, man, my prayers are going to just have my life blow up. Well, I will say the story doesn't end. I did end up meeting my wife, and next year we'll be celebrating 20 years of our marriage. So, and she is everything and more that I wrote in that prayer. So I did get answered prayer. And the reason why I wanted to tell that story is because our bodies know things. So I want to have you do a little experiment. If you could please stand up if you're able, okay? If you're able, because your body knows things before you know things. Now, if you're online, do it too. I see you. Stand up. Try it out. Okay. So what you're going to do is you're going to close your eyes, and you're going to tell your body something true about yourself. 100% true. Tell your body something true about yourself. Now, what I want you to do is pay attention to how your body feels. Is it swaying? Does it feel solid? Do you feel any tingling sensations? Or, you know, just do a little scan. How does my body feel when I say this thing in my head to myself? How does my body feel? Okay, now what I want you to do is tell your body something that is absolutely 100% not true about you. Tell your body something 100% not true about yourself. Say it in your mind, and then pay attention to what is different in your body. Now, for me, I'm noticing that I get a little tightness in my gut, in my throat. Other people from first service said there was an instability. somebody got weak in the knees. So just notice. Okay, you can be seated. All right, so that's a tool that you can use once you discern what, when your body knows before your brain knows, you can use that tool. You can pay attention to what is my body saying about this. For instance, if you want to, if you have a question about something in life that you want to pursue and you need to know the answer, you can go within and ask yourself, what is the true thing feel like? What is the not true thing feel like? Shall I move forward? It's like, what is a yes? What is a no? And so that way you can discern if you want to move forward in any situation. It can be very easy. Should I go on this vacation? Should I join this club? Should I become friends with that person? Should I, go on a date with that person? All of those things are things that your body may know before you even know. So the third thing, anybody notice this? I just like torturing you. Somebody's like, what? There's a rake on the stage? Why, yes. Yes, there is. My third story is about a Zen monk. And the Zen monk, every day, he would wake up and there was his garden was filled with dirt and sand and rocks. And he would rake every day. He would rake off all the leaves. And the rake would put these beautiful patterns in the sand, and he would rake around the trees, and he'd rake around the rocks, and he would just rake and just do this to his garden. And by the end of the day, more trees had fallen, the little beautiful ripples in the sand had gotten blown away by the wind, or maybe it might rain, and then there it's all gone. And then the next day, he would wake up again, rake off all the leaves, rake around the rocks and the trees, all the way around, make it beautiful again. And he had a visitor one day who said, doesn't it bother you that you do this in the morning and by the evening it's already messed up? And he said, no, it doesn't bother me because this is my garden and it's my job to tend to my garden. And the way I tend to my garden is that I take care of it every single day. You see, this is the piece so many of us skip. We treat our bodies like it's a problem or there's a deadline. It has something that needs to be solved. There's an issue with it. But a habitat doesn't work that way. Nothing living does. Emmett Fox taught that underneath all of our distortion, there's a perfect pattern of who we truly are. It's not something that we manufacture, or it's more like something we uncover. And each of us need to tend to it. Because the garden didn't invent the gardener didn't invent the oak tree. It just clears around what's crowding it out. It didn't invent the flower. It just makes sure that there's daily water and that the things are trimmed in a way that works for it. So know that you are not something that needs to be fixed. You're something that needs to be tended because you already are perfect and your body already knows how to do its thing. You're a garden that knows how to grow. It only needs to be tended. So just recognize that your body isn't separate from the sacred. It's not working against it. It is a sacred experience of the most holy, of the most divine. And so know that something may actually need to be tended within you today. So what is that thing? Not something that needs to be fixed forever, but just something that needs to be tended today. What would it look like to care for your body just for today? And then tomorrow, what would it look like just for tomorrow? You see, what you tend and what you admire and love with real attention, it becomes even more holy and more sacred because we acknowledge the beauty that's within it. So this is your homework. Once a day, just do something to tend to your body. Just do something. One thing. Don't make it big. Just a little something. So recognize those three things. The one thing, the body, inherited a terrain that you did not choose. What message did you absorb before you had a vote? And then the second thing is that the body knows before the mind does. What have you been overriding when your body has told you it already knows what's the highest and best for you? And the third thing is recognizing that your body is a garden, not a project, not something that needs to be fixed. It's something that needs tending every day. And what's one act of care that you can give to it? Know that you didn't choose the terrain, but you do get to decide what grows there now. Let's pray. So knowing that the infinite great creator loved itself so much that it birthed each and every one of us in its own unique size and style, in its own particular way. And just like the varieties of flowers that there are out in the world, there's the varieties of humans out in the world too, and each one is sacred and holy. And so I acknowledge my own body and my sacredness and holiness in it. As I do this for myself, I know that each and every person here is also a blessing to the world, that each and everybody is a blessing, that their body is a sacred and holy habitat for the infinite spirit to express itself in and through and as each and every one of us. And for that, I am so grateful. So I'm reminded that I don't need to take on any of those things that were told to me as a kid. I uproot all of those belief systems and those things that no longer serve me or no longer serve the world, because I know that my sacred and holy place, that as I honor myself, I acknowledge and honor those around me. And I know that this is a place that I bring my conscious attention and awareness to tending, to honoring, to nurturing, to loving, no matter what winds or rains may blow it around, whatever storms may come, that every day I get up and I tend to it and love it and appreciate it. And for that, I am deeply grateful. So I know and claim that transformation has happened today, that there is an awakening to our true selves of who we know ourselves to be, that the body knows, that I know, that the infinite knows. And so that this knowledge comes to fruition right here and now in my life, as my life. And I celebrate it, I honor it, I acknowledge it, and I know it is a blessing, and so it is. Thank you so much.